Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Like a geography lesson if you come early. Should name the capitals of the states everybody calls from.
Sacramento. California.
Edmonton.
True.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi. This is Wynn. Can you hear me?
Yes, Wynn. We hear you.
Are we on BBS?
Yes, we are. And I haven't even spoken to the people yet at the BBS on the Internet. I welcome all those who joined in over the Internet. We have more people joining in here over the conference call, over the phone line. And hey, Wynn. Those who just joined in, welcome to the call if you want to see my location.
Hi, Heis. It's Peg in Cincinnati.
Hi, Peg. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Is Dwayne here?
Yes.
Heis, is Dwayne doing good?
He's been good. He requested me him earlier.
Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne.
At about a quarter.
By the way, I have good news. I have good news.
Don't tell us what you did with the nurse yet, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if that's good for the public to hear. Is Terry here?
Yeah. Hello, Terry.
I'm here.
All right. Hello. Thank you for being here, Terry.
Hi.
Thanks for joining your call.
All right. So, is everybody ready to get muted?
As long as it's only temporary.
Bring it on.
Thank you. That was a good idea.
I'm ready.
Okay. Wait a second.
Terry?
We're all muted. And let me see, I'm going
to... I did this.
You took out the tones, guys?
Yes.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. This is Winfrey. This is Monday, May 6th. And we're going to do... Uh-oh. Terry, I don't know if you know it, but we're hearing chewing sounds.
Chewing sounds. Wait, have they stopped now?
Yeah, they stopped. It was coming on your mic, though, so...
Oh, I was just taking a vitamin.
I see, I was right. We heard it completely, okay?
Okay.
For those of you that are listening for the first time, this is not a rehearsed show. In fact, it's by the seat of the pants, and the seat of the cosmic pants. That's a good name, isn't it? The seat of the cosmic pants. Because you could call it a broadband approach, broadband, meaning wide spectrum to reality. And there's a lot of things we talk about here that are not available other places. And some of the things are available, but it's hard to figure out what to trust. And in general, you know, there's the aspect of wisdom that comes through these calls, which speaks for itself. You've all learned at some level to recognize wisdom. Because you don't have to believe anything to know when something is good counsel. And then there's the element of understanding how the universe works. And that's something that we can't validate ourselves. So we have to be kind of cosmic scientists to see if it all fits together And I think that's one of the roles that I play. I play kind of a scientific perspective to see if the information fits together, if it holds. And because we're talking to sources from other dimensions, and we don't know they are who they say they are, although I think they are, and we don't know that every time we talk to them, we're getting the same source, although I think we're in the ballpark. And the third thing here is there's an energy that comes in on this line that people can feel. And we're talking to sources, in particular the Elohim, in particularly, who explain that they exist at the beginning of time, the beginning of space, and that all of time and space formed around them, and they were the creators of it, and that they have the ability to flow through time space to come into a place right here where we can feel them. And if you're new on the call, you may not feel this the first time, and it's a subtle feeling. It's a feeling of expansion, and they say that's them. Well, that feeling does come in on this call, and many people feel it. And for most people, it feels really good, and it feels oftentimes like patterns that are oppressive get lifted. Depressions get lifted. And so that's one of the things that happens on these calls. And another thing is, there is a look at history, the history of humanity, but not from a history book standpoint, from a whole alternative standpoint. And in some ways, that's not provable. Other of us have had lifetimes in these epics, and when we hear it, it goes click, 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 and it kind of resonates and fits in. And in my case, I believe I've had lifetimes and it all resonated. But in addition to that, I do a lot of research. I look for cross-references on the internet. And I look for things that can help me not only believe myself on these things, but that I can share with you that your minds can wrap around and say, you know what? There's a lot of indications that that may be true. So we do have this story of these two group souls that exist in other dimensions. And one is the rock group, which is made up of graduates of this realm. And the other is the Elohim group, which is made up of the creators of this realm. And theoretically, by and large, the Elohim have not taken bodies. And what we have learned is there are some Elohim that have taken bodies, and the ones that have taken bodies oftentimes come here to help. And once they're here, they end up not remembering why they came, and they end up being the negative. They have a lot of power, and so they can control other people or beings in this realm. And so there is a track through history that I've uncovered through correlating the material of Carla Ruckert. And if you're not aware who Carla Ruckert is, she's a regular on our show. We have a series of workshops we've been doing called The Law of One Made Simple. And Carla Ruckert channeled a voice that said it was the Ra Group from 1981 to 1983. She has 5 books out. And then David Wilcock, who was the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, was channeling a voice that said it was the Ra Group. And he said it was the same Ra Group as Carla Ruckert. She said, am I recording? I better check here. Usually I...
Yes, you are.
Thank you, thank you. And so one of the things that was compelling to me was all these correlations that were coming up as I cross-referenced things that started connecting a lot of dots. So the indications of something being true started to increase for me as I started to see dots connected throughout history, not just because a voice was talking to me through Daphne or Terry. And that's been a very important part of my expression here, because I've connected the dots for me, then I can help connect the dots for some of you, because this stuff is wild. It's out there. And by any of the regular laws of the universe, it's impossible. You know, the physical universe, I should say, not the general universe. It wouldn't be possible for all these things to happen. And yet, they're happening. So, this is going to be a call where we connect some dots that I've connected up. And track it carefully, because if your mind happens to be a skeptic, which it should be, unless you've been listening to the calls for a while, this is the kind of call that can make you think there is actually something really relevant and true in this work. Because you are not supposed to believe it blindly. You're not supposed to, lay down and say, because the voice we're talking to says, Elohim was the name for God in the Bible, that we're actually talking to God and are the same source as the Bible, even though they said they were part of that. Because the whole expression of it now is totally different than it was 2,000 years ago when the Bible was written. And the way people understand things is more sophisticated, and things have always been expressed when they come from higher sources in order to match the consciousness of a particular period. And the truth is not in the words, except it was the truth in that time. And the same truth would be expressed differently now because people are more sophisticated. And there's indications that it's the same truth because it's the same end results. Love your neighbor as yourself. You are part of all that is. The Father and Son are one. We are part of each other. Same truth, just a far more sophisticated approach and no hierarchy. I mean, even, I think Jesus said, let me see if I get this right, he indicated that we're the Son. If you're a Christian and you look at things, even using, Jesus' criteria, you cannot escape your own discernment. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, people will use my name, but they don't necessarily come in my name. So because somebody uses the word Christ or Christian doesn't necessarily mean they are in that same energy that Jesus was projecting. So how do you know? How do you know? Believe nothing. Learn to feel the energy in your heart. Test everything. And the one thing Jesus did say, he said, by your fruits ye shall be known. So you look at how things impact people. And are people being more loving? Are their lives changing in a positive way? Are they interfacing with each other and getting along? What is it that is an indication that there's a fruit? And fruits are the indication of being connected to very high positive sources. Negative sources don't necessarily have truths. You're just left following. And, you know, we do all these calls, and I know many of you keep coming back, and you're getting a lot out of it. And, I mean, I want to tell you, you're not my follower. I'm with you. We are all in these bodies together. I have certain things, and I try to share them in such a way that each of you test it and apply it and consider it from your own level of scrutiny. And we are very lucky to have Terry and sometimes Daphne on board to actually bring through verbal messages from what we think is, are these higher sources. So one of the things that was in the free book we give away, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe Want to Talk to You, had to do with gross, what they called gross repeating cycles. Now, if you can imagine the Elohim don't exist in time. And that means they watch things, but it's all the same moment. And it's hard to understand how that might feel, although you might think of some time when you were having a great time and the time passed really fast. And so your experience of time, you can see time, even though the clock always moves at the same speed, your experience of time is always changing. So we have the Elohim observing this universe that they created that is going through all its ups and downs, planetary wars, planets exploding. And then there's a group of beings that evolved and graduated this realm. How do you graduate this realm? We've talked about that a lot. And supposedly, it takes a long time, many, many lifetimes, maybe 1,000, maybe more. Most of you listening are probably old souls. And how do you graduate this realm? Well, we've had loads of keys. You need to have your heart open, slightly more than half. You need to be detached from the things of this realm, people and ambitions. It doesn't mean you don't love people. It doesn't mean you don't strive for things while you're here. But you need to be detached from your all those things, because if you're attached, it pulls you back into the realm, because this is the only realm you can work these things out. Some of you came here to be of service, and you need to figure out how to be of service. But eventually, we graduate this realm. And that, according to the Ra group, that you don't just join the Ra group at that point. There's all these other stages of evolution you go through. There's heaven realms, there's whatever. And then there's the Ra group. And the Ra group is a group of graduates, maybe billions of them. And when I was asking Daphne questions about the Ra group, they said the Ra group was like a template. It was a template. Didn't use the word template. It was like they were spread through space. And according to Carla Ruckert, they said we radiate through 90% of the known universe. So the rock group has been evolving, and when we try to think of it, it's hard to imagine it because they're huge, and they're warriors, and they're closer in than the Elohim group. And they have worked more directly with our planet. They have made plans. They're also outside of time. So they can have a plan that executes itself over a long time. And so, you know, I talked earlier about footprints and the footprints through history. And there's more footprints through history of the Ra group that I could find than the Elohim group. There were like three indications of the Elohim group. One was they're named in the Bible, but oftentimes it's the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. It might have been the Elohim group that took bodies that was mentioned in the Bible. I don't know. And then they were mentioned in the Book of Mormon. And then there was a guy named, what's his name? He wrote The Keys of Enoch. I can't remember his name, where he was channeling stuff from the Elohim. And is Allah the Elohim? We never asked that. It's possible. Was Buddha talking to the Elohim? We didn't ask that either. But most people that talk to something high in the other realms seem to be, the indications are, that they're talking to the Ra group and not the Elohim. And one of the first clues that I uncovered was this correlation between Edgar Cayce and the Carla Ruckert material, which where they talked about this Egyptian high priest, Ra-Ta, who was an early incarnation of Edgar Cayce, and that built the pyramids by levitation. And Carla Ruckert, in her material, said the same thing, although never mentioned Edgar Cayce, and Edgar Cayce never mentioned the group soul. We have both referencing 10,000 B.C. in Egypt that the pyramids were built by levitation, and that was the Ra group. And then it was indicated that the Egyptian priesthood took over the work of the Ra group and turned it negative and started using it to control people. So then there was Amun Ra, and there was Egypt under the auspices, the entire country of the negative. And they were doing sacrifices. And they were doing control. And then there was a book I read that mummies were made to trap souls so they couldn't reincarnate. I don't know if that's true, but it made sense. And then there was this effort by this Egyptian pharaoh, Akhenaten, who Carla Ruckert said was communicating with Ra, one of the few people in history. And then when Daphne, before I knew any of this, when Daphne was channeling, and I asked how to connect with the other side, they said, write your dreams down. And I suddenly started getting, in the morning, I looked at my dreams, and I got verbal messages. And they were saying things like, you have to look tall and thin, you're supposed to be the front man. And when it first happened, I thought I was crazy. I thought I was making it up, except in my study of David Wilcock, it was exactly how things started for him, little sentence fragments. And then I went back and I said, who is talking to me? And they said, Akhenaten. And there was a whole story that unfolded that it seemed like I was connected to Akhenaten and Daphne was connected to Nefertiti. And if this whole subject fascinates you, and if you have an attraction to Egypt, I do have a workshop. It's called The Egyptian Connection. I think it's like a four-hour workshop. I'll never do it again. It was really emotional. But I put together a lot of pieces of this whole Rata, Atnat, Jesus, Edgar Cayce thing in one workshop, drawing on a lot of material that I had been researching at the time to try to say, convince myself that I was onto something. And if you're interested in that workshop, it's egypt.intelligent-infinity.com, and I think it costs $19. But if you can't afford that, email me, and I'll give you a discount code so you can get it cheaper. But it was an extraordinary workshop. And it went through how the negative was in control of Egypt, and that how Akhenaten made an attempt, but in some aspects of his attempt were total failure because they destroyed his city. No one knows where he went. They took all of his teachings and eliminated them, and for 1,000 years, no one even knew there was an Akhenaten until about 150 years ago when they unearthed that famous statue of Nefertiti that happens to look like Daphne. And so all this is missing pieces of the puzzle of Rata, Akhenaten, and the connection to Jesus, which my take is, was a part of a co-creation plan between the entity or entities that were Jesus and the Ra group. And I cover that in that workshop. So, and Akhenaten played a part in it. And I don't want to go through all that now because I said, what's happening now? And I am bringing it up because there are age-old divisions of energy that have been carried through the hologram that exist right now. And the thing about it is that the negative aspect of it is so concealed, it's hard to see it. And in doing this talk tonight, I had to think really hard about what I was going to say and how I was going to say it, because our group is succeeding at something that is very unusual in this realm, and that is we are creating a group energy with these sources, and I believe it's real. I believe it's anchoring. I believe many of you have felt it. And we're learning to work with them, work with them. They don't tell us what to do. It's a co-creative effort. And that it's something that can exist beyond our lives. Do you know, this historically, there were times when things like this happened, and people put them in libraries. There was the Alexandria Library in Egypt, where there were the secret teachings. These things have been in secret and passed down so they wouldn't get destroyed. We don't have them in secret. Everything we do, most of what we do, is on the Internet. And it's just transparent. But in other times, it was secret. It was secret because it's controversial. It kind of rattles people's cages. It rattles reality systems. And so it's an area of study, and if you have not gone to our archive site, I highly recommend it. It's thespiritchannel.net. And so today, there is, you know, we could start with Atlantis. In Edgar Cayce's, just to give you an idea of how long the track goes that we know about, and I'm sure it goes back longer than this, I'm sure it goes to Baldeck, to other planets. But Atlantis, Edgar Cayce, said there were two groups there. One was the children of the Law of One, and the other was the Sons of Belial. And the Sons of Belial, maybe you've heard the word Baal, the devil, the negative. The children of the Law of One is the moniker of the Ra group, although Edgar Cayce never said the Ra group. To me, as soon as I heard the Law of One, I said Ra group. And that Atlantis was setting itself up on a path of self-destruction. And it some people say it was because of a pyramid exploded because they were abusing power. But it wasn't a destruction that happened naturally. It was something that was caused by the people's consciousness. And when Atlantis was destroyed, or destroyed itself, there were certain people that knew that was coming, mostly from the Law of One groups. And they somehow got a message to get out of Dodge. And they left Atlantis before it went down. And a good portion of those people arrived in Egypt. They were guided to arrive in Egypt. Now, I suggest in my own mind that there were meetings where people were channeling the Ra group, and that this group of people called the Law of One were the ones that were going to those meetings, and that there was trust that was developed. Because to get somebody to leave their home and go to a strange environment, like to go from Atlantis to Egypt, if somebody was going to say that, there had to be a lot of trust for people to do that. And a lot of people did it. And so my thinking is it was the Ra group that was channeled in these meetings, and they went to Egypt. And then they were welcomed by Ra-Ta, who was the high priest there. And in fact, in the Edgar Cayce materials, they talk about how these Atlanteans will come in on little aircraft, single-person aircraft, which apparently was quite common at the time. And so now, you know, all we know is that pyramids were built by levitation. There were a lot of healings that were done, and the high priests tried to take it over. And in fact, if you've heard the word Amun-Ra, that was not the Ra group. That was the high priest name for Ra that was a negative source. And then that went up to Akhenaten, who tried to reverse it and failed. And the Ra group brought in Jesus, and the idea was not to bring in a savior for someone to give their power up to. And that was something I believe that came after Jesus died or left. The idea was to bring in someone that could hold the energy of their heart open, to help other people hold their heart energy open, to evolve the DNA, that it would get carried down. Some of you know the experience that when you're on these calls, sometimes there's a whole shift of energy. And when your energy shifts, you go out in the world and you're carrying a new energy. You're more lovable, people feel the love, and you have transferred the energy to others. That's an indication that you're in the Christed energy. When you can feel that energy and it just transfers to others without lecturing them or talking to them, then that's a sign that it's not love that's on an emotional level. Different kind of love. Love that just radiates through you. And so today we have that same opposing forces that are involved in this world, I think. Now, some people would say otherwise. Some people would say the negative has been defeated. There is no more negative. And I hope that's true. But every day when I go out and see chemtrails, when I read about what seems like false flag events, and I hope, whenever I say that, I hope, you know, people, if you think that that's not real, please just YouTube events and put in false flag behind them and see what comes up and study it yourself. Don't let the newspapers guide you. So why is all this going on? In some ways, it makes no sense. It's not logical. Why would those things occur? Because we have the same battle between dark and light going on today as happened in Atlantis, as happened in Egypt. In fact, Egypt wasn't the battle. The dark won. The dark ran the country. The dark ran Germany. And, you know, what provoked me to do this particular topic was the fact, and I mentioned this yesterday, that I had discovered, kind of accidentally, an unlikely and surprising series of channelings where it seemed like the Rob Roop was coming through, but they were not using the name Rob Roop. And they were identifying themselves in a more generic fashion. But there were indications, and I'm still studying it. And in fact, you know, I have to apologize. I said yesterday that I was going to turn everybody onto it. And I decided, you know, we did a session yesterday with Terry, and I asked about it. There was some idea that I should not do that. So I'm going to hold back. But I will tell you some of the things that were in there that made me think it was the Rob Roop. And in the introduction, they said, this is the force that expressed itself through Edgar Cayce, Christ, the Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, and other great avatars who served as channels for the Heavenly Father, for the Father, Mother, God, and who speaks again today as the world begins to enter the new age of spiritual consciousness and awareness. And by the way, this was in 1977. This was 4 years before Carl Ruckert said Ra. Now, I may be making a mistake here, okay? But I'm just sharing it with you as it's unfolding for me, because I don't think I am. And so this awareness came through carefully trained channels and deep trance states. And it is the universal vibrations and the movement of planets, the movements of the sun in its sojourn through its orbit around Sirius and the Orion constellation, and the variation that it meets in its movement that determines the Earth ages of approximately 2,200 years. And it is this movement that these new vibrations trigger certain frequency reactions among the planets of the solar system, so that the vibrations are altered on Earth and on other planets in such a manner that it changes the consciousness of individuals on Earth. And it is this that is causing and bringing about what's called the New Age. And then they say, don't believe anything but the question, explore, doubt, and discover for yourself. Well, as I was reading this stuff, there was the first time, there were only, in my recollection, there's only two times that I've heard the Ra Group come up, besides Edgar Cayce, David Wilcock, Carla Ruckert, and myself. And one was in a book called Voyagers 2, where they talked about the Ra Confederation. And I've read that before, that Ra Confederation was the administrator of ascension or graduation from this realm. And I read that at the time that I was first learning about the Ra group, and I was thinking that that was the way it worked. That's the way, they didn't say that outright. And then I saw it reiterated there, and they used the word Ra Confederation. Well, in this series of channelings that I was discovering, I found them talking about Ra-Ta, Edgar Casey, opening the floodgates. And I'll read, the awareness indicates this action, which began some 60,000 years ago, reached its height of power about 25 years ago and began to lose its power approximately 10,000 years B.C. After Ra-Ta set about a counteraction, a counterforce of greater power to reverse the trend towards the previous accumulation of power. This occurred at the beginning of the Virgo Age, as the forces of antimatter began to wane during the approaching dark cycle, which has dominated the Earth for these past 12,000 years. The awareness, now let me say that the fact of Ra-Ta, anyone who had read Edgar Casey would have some awareness of Ra-Ta. So the fact that they're talking about Ra-Ta might be just because somebody knew about Edgar Casey and had read that, and then it might not be. But let's see more what they say. The action of Ra-Ta and the builders of the pyramid and Sphinx in ancient Egypt were designed to offer a greater attraction, a greater power than those of the Atlantean priests. And once the seekers of power were caught up in the Egyptian power, they were led along the path that brought them not only to power, but that enlightenment and realization that power was not the answer to the cravings of the appetite. In this action, many followers of Baal, Lucifer, were brought into the Law of One. And it was indicated that Edgar Casey, the reincarnate spirit of Ra-Ta, opened the doors for the flood of consciousness upon this plane to allow that force to begin moving from that fourth dimension into the present time. In this action, the Lucifer, the Re, which I never heard of, the personification of that first separateness, was given an opportunity to tap into this ancient power that began in Egypt, and in so doing, was drawn unwittingly into states of awareness that led back to the Law of One and this awareness. And now, let me see, are the energies of Atlantis still affecting us today? There is a strong link between the Ra-Ta period of ancient Egypt and these present times. There was a mummification project eons ago, and those entities called wanderers are again finding their way and awaken even more into the new understanding and awareness. Now, there's the word wanderers. Again, this was before Carla Ruckert, as far as I know, and she was the first person that I was aware of to use the word wanderers, but here it is again. These are like the ways that I start putting clues together and are again finding their way and awakening even more into the new understanding and awareness. Remember, there is only a small portion of the brain, the mind, that is being used. This is an area that is in change and is changing. Many entities in opening to the expanded awareness and consciousness, that knowledge and knowing from their own aspects of being from an earlier age, will start to use a higher percentage of the brain as the vibrational energies shift and expand. And this, too, is part of the process of the unfolding that is taking place at this time. And then there was much, much more that was coming true that really related to many of the things that we're doing. For example, some of you may have heard sometime, might have been a year ago, this is in the Spirit Channel, if you go look for Revelations, I did a whole Monday night talk on Revelations. What is Revelations? Revelations is one of the books of the New Testament, except it was written after Jesus died, and it was written by some guy that heard a voice inside his head and was writing down what that voice said. And when I read it, I decided that that was not part of the rock consciousness. And Revelations is filled with a lot of negative prophecies. You know, I think this is going to be destroyed. There's going to be four horsemen of the apocalypse. There's going to be an apocalypse. And that what I had learned was prophecies like that don't come from Elohim and Ra. And in fact, even the Edgar Cayce prophecy, as I was studying the Wilcock channelings, there was Edgar Cayce's most famous prophecy is what I call his devastation prophecy, where he said that L.A. was going to go into the ocean, New York was going to disappear in the blink of an eye, Tokyo was going down, Europe was going down, and it sounded like the whole world was going to fall apart. And I believe the date for that was around 2000. Well, it didn't happen. And there was a whole correction on that in the Wilcock channelings, where they said that came from a negative source. It was not the Ra group. And that negative source was attempting, number one, to create fear, and number two, to discredit Edgar Cayce. Because the entry of Edgar Cayce, as I saw it, was a master plan by the Ra group to get attention in this realm, to bring in Edgar Cayce and do all those phenomena and amazingly accurate readings, and then years later bring in David Wilcock and have David Wilcock fulfill the prophecies and, you know, make the connections with Edgar Cayce. So in spite of the fact that it's controversial to many people, most everyone that studies the book, studies the material, believes that the case is made. And then that would give the Ra group this opportunity to use the credibility of Edgar Cayce and bring in the information for the shift that's coming down on the planet. But what they did about that one particular devastation prophecy is they said that both Wilcock and Cayce were susceptible to negative sources, and that that particular prophecy was a negative source designed to create fear and designed to discredit Cayce when it didn't happen. So you can see how tricky discernment is in this realm. It's very tricky. And that what I've learned, and this is stuff that's not my job to go into, except I'll just draw the conclusion, and you have to go into it, and it's on the internet, you can find it on the internet, is that almost nothing in this realm is as it seems. And particularly if you're watching the news, nothing is as it seems. And the trick on that is that it is very hard to create discernment. And I have learned a lot about a lot of stuff, and some of the stuff would scare you. And, you know, this is why I say this work may not save our planet, and yet it may, and it may not. But it will, if you follow it through, and if all the information we have is correct, it will give you the guidelines for graduating this realm. And that, and it'll give you the energies of connection to those points in higher realms that when you connect with them, when you die, will exist as anchor points that can hold for you and cause you to move to a higher place. And, you know, this is not something that's just gifted. You have to work at it. If you're not working, I mean, some people are blessed. They come in, they've worked out all their karmas. They don't have to work for it. They come into our calls, and they hit the ground running, but they were actually hitting the ground running before they came into our calls, and this just put a lot of stuff together. And many people come into our calls, and they come in with patterns of the past, karmic patterns and issues that come up as they start to pay attention. And when they come up, they're kind of irritating. And you have to hang in here long enough to figure out how to release them. Sometimes we can call them miasms. Now, we're not the only people that release those things. We don't even release them. You release them. But there's all kinds of healers and shamans that are working on helping people release things. And if you can find one that's authentic, then you should go for it. And we're doing it in a different way. We just set an energy standard. It brings your stuff up. And then, as you notice, the way the calls are evolving, we're talking about the things that are coming up for people. Well, the important aspect of knowing about this good and bad service to self, service to others, is to get sharp enough so you don't fall for any service to self traps. What's a service to self trap? Well, they're all over the place. And they don't look negative. They can even look really positive. They can talk about ascension. They can talk about the same things we talk about. But hidden within them is negative things. And see, this is the dilemma. To talk about this stuff can create fear. And it can also create discernment. And I have to walk the fine line of how to share this so you guys can process the fear and get into the discernment really fast. Because we talked about all the aspects of the work we're doing. One of the things we're doing is we're creating this group energy. And in that group energy, there is a lot of love and a loving feeling for each other, for the planet, for our sources. And that love is what redeems us. And that group energy is holding a beacon, a light, that we can keep following until we hold that space inside of ourselves. And till you overcome the fear of death, till you know you're going to continue. You don't believe it, you know it. And that death is a transition, but none of us can remember that, so there's fear. There's fear that when we leave this realm, we're done, we're finished. So it's 6:55, and I'm not sure I made all my points. And I'd like to take at least 2 minutes now to just hold a quiet space, a group energy space, for ourselves and for the planet. And for all of you that need healing, for Conrad Kosserer, who is in the hospital in Phoenix with a heart attack. Take a moment and just let that energy come in through the top of your head. Do we feel the connection with each other? And we feel the connection with the earth. And we feel the connection with spirit, or our group souls, or God, or however you want to call it. And it's all one energy. And we create the intent for upliftment and protection on this planet. We send this energy to Los Angeles and to all those cities. We blanket the entire planet in love light energy. We're not doing it. We're doing it in co-creation with each other and our sources. And we are doing it because they need to be asked. And our intent is pure. So take a moment and hold that space. All right, and we're going to end this call. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your support of this. And I hope that made some sense and meaning to you. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thanks, Wynn. You're all unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn.
Good night, Lucy. Good night, Wynn.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Wynn. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you all, and we'll see you next time.
Thank your conference Ann. Recording
thank
has
you,
stopped.
What?
Thank you. Thank you, Ann.
Hi, everyone.
Hear me now.
Thank
I'm
you,
a spirit.
First time caller. Thank you.
Hear me now.
Hear me now.
I'm a spirit.